The program you're about to hear needs a little bit of an explanation. Groucho Marx started You Bet Your Life on radio. And when he did so, it was done in a way that, well, few other radio programs have been done before it. Groucho would go as long as it took for him to get the funny answers and funny comments out of people, and enough for him to get his own humor out there. So what they would do is they'd start taping, or in those days they used acetate as well, and then they would record as much as they needed to record. In this case, it was 52 minutes. Those shows then were edited down to the 30-minute radio program. What you're going to hear on this program is the unedited You Bet Your Life, recorded on the 17th of March, 1949. It is completely unedited. Nothing has been deleted or changed. When it finally made it to broadcast, a lot of this was missing. But now, at last, you can hear Groucho Marx, as he really was meant to be heard, unedited on You Bet Your Life.
Keep this under your hat. The secret word.
During the time,
please.
You've gotten that far without.
Why are you laughing? Nothing funny here. Ladies and gentlemen, keep this under your hat. The secret word tonight is floor. F L O O R.
Really? You bet your life! Elgin American, creators of America's most beautiful compact, smartest cigarette cases, finest dresser sets, presents Groucho Marx in the Elgin American show, You Bet Your Life. The comedy quiz series produced and transcribed from Hollywood. And here's that sterling Elgin American, the one, the only.
No cause for alarm, it's only me, Groucho Marx. Thank you. Well, here I am again with $1,000 for one of our couples tonight. George Fenneman, who's first to try and take it away from me?
Well, in honor of St. Patrick's Day, we invited some Irish bachelors and some Irish spinsters to the show. And here are the two the audience selected just before we went on the air. Miss Josephine Cullen and Mr. John Gallagher meet another Irishman, Grout O'Mart.
Hey, it's my dad, and let's welcome you out of the Elgin American O Contact O program. And if either of you will be after saying the secret word at any time, we'll gather you'll each win a 16-millimeter power sound, a movie or projector. It's a common word, something you'll find around the old house. An Irish bachelor, an Irish spinster, eh? Colleen, where are you from?
County Galway.
County Galway?
Yes.
How long have you been away from the old job?
Oh, you just wanted to find out my age.
I beg your pardon?
You just wanted to find out how old I am.
Not exactly. I wanted to find out how long you've been away from the old side, huh? And why did you leave the old side in the first place?
I wanted to travel.
And, Patty, me find Laddie Buck, where are you from?
I'm from County Donegal. And actually, that belongs to the south, too.
Oh, yeah. And why did you leave the old country?
Oh, I wanted to see the world, the station United States.
And did you see it?
Certainly I did.
And what part of Ireland is county, what did you say it was?
Oh, this belongs to the south, Barry.
And what's the name of the county?
Donegal.
Oh, Donegal. You're from the south. Fair from the dad you are, huh? No, I know why you're still a bachelor. You're from the Irish Free State, huh?
Yes.
And that's what I like about the south. Shamrock, how old are you?
I'm 49.
And, Miss Cullen, what is your age? How old are you, Miss Darren, huh? How old?
40.
Oh, you're 40, huh? I won't ask you how old you are. Let's forget the whole thing. Patty, what kind of work do you do?
Oh, I'm a janitor.
A janitor?
Yeah, yeah.
Where do you janitor?
Oh, everywhere in particular,
huh?
Just after people.
You just clean up after people?
That's right.
And how long have you been doing it?
Oh, about 3 or 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
You find her pretty messy?
At times, I do.
Uh-huh.
But it's interesting, isn't it?
Yes, yes. You pick up a lot of dirt, that way.
That's right.
Well, you could write a column with all that stuff, couldn't you?
Certainly.
And Colleen McQueen, what kind of work are you been after doing?
I'm a housekeeper.
You're a housekeeper?
Yes.
And how long have you been doing it?
4 years.
4 years?
Yes. Huh?
And how old were you when you started?
Oh, you just wanted to find out my age.
Just to show you I like you, here are the perfect gifts for each of you. For Miss Curran, the Intelligent American's lovely green compact trimmed in jeweler's bronze, green for St. Patrick's Day.
Thank you, sir.
How do you like it?
I like it very much. I never had one.
You never had one, Al? You never had a green one, anyhow.
Well, I never had any.
You never had any?
No, I didn't.
And Mr. Gallagher, how are things in Glacamora?
Well, sir, it's all them sitting there.
You know, there is no such place as Glacamora.
Well, I see, but...
No, it's just a fancy of the writer.
That's it, what?
Yes, Now, here's your gift from Elgin American. A handsome silver finished cigarette case.
I thank you, Mr. Wonderland.
It's nothing at all. It's nothing at all, John. I'm glad to have you. And, Mr. Gallagher, what was your most exciting experience?
Well, I got held up one time.
Who held you up? A friend on the way home?
Well, yes, a friend. He was a friend who didn't get much.
He didn't, huh?
No.
Who held you up? How did it happen, huh?
I came home one night from the Legion. I was crossing the street, and he was sitting in the dark, and I had...
You were on your way to Kerrigan?
I was on my way home.
Oh.
From Kerrigan, just before.
Okay.
And this guy did it over after me. I turned around, and she said, stick him up, and she's giving you money. I said, I got no money. I didn't got it over the Legion. And I saw he had no gum. I said, sir, what's the idea of holding people up without gum? I said, here, 50 cents. And,
well, you get a gun, huh?
Down in our
class at home. That's the last you saw me. You were just out 4 bits, huh?
I saw this.
Miss Curran, what do you miss most about being away from Ireland?
I miss the turf and the...
You miss the turf?
The turf.
Mm-hmm.
And I miss the carrot.
What do you mean the turf? You mean the racetrack?
No, that's the bar, the turf.
Oh, the bar, yeah.
Yes, and I miss the carrot. That's potatoes and cream and onions and butter, plenty of butter in the old country.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen a leprechaun?
No, I haven't.
On New Year's Eve, I saw 20 of them, all purple. Now, Gallagher, me lad, why is St. Patrick's Day such a big day for the Irish?
Well, it's his birthday.
A birthday
in Ireland, they always had an argument on the 8th and 9th of March, and there's some Irish and argument about the days, and so therefore they compromised, and they added up the 8th and 9th and made the 17th of March. Now, they all...
I didn't know Irishmen ever compromised.
Well, they must have compromised because they added it in 9 and made it the 17th of March.
Mm.
Now they all celebrate on the 17th.
I thought they'd just stand there and club each other to death.
And they get a little drink today when they get
to the Well, how is it, Shillelagh, you're still single? I thought the Irish were very fond of Dublin.
I never could support them.
Josephine, when I say Shillelagh, I'm referring to...
I'm sorry, sir.
I wouldn't call any Irish Colleen a Shillelagh. I might have one in her pocket, huh? Yes. How is it you're still single, Mr. Gallagher?
Well, I'm such a character, the way a woman have anything to do with it.
In what way are you a character, huh?
Well, I never concentrated enough on one woman.
You never concentrated enough on one woman?
That's right. Never had the time.
You never worked with Sheen, did you, Gallagher and Sheen?
No, but I know Mrs. Sheen.
You know Mrs. Sheen?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know that song, Gallagher and Sheen?
Well,
could you sing us a little of it then? Oh, Mr. Gallagher.
Oh, Mr. Gallagher. Oh, Mr. Gallagher.
What's on your mind this morning, Mr. Sheen? Well, that's possible. Let's not overdo it, huh? Have you ever come close to marriage, Mr. Gallagher?
Well, I never could get enough to the church door with all of this, besides.
Well, you don't have to get married to the church, you know. You can get married to the justice of the
place. Well, I never could hook at him anyhow.
You never could hook
at him? Well, I never got the ear enough for me to catch him.
You look like a very attractive young fellow, I should
say.
You? Yes.
I do. Who do you attract?
You don't attract any women?
I don't know. Maybe I do.
You've never had any love affair at all?
Well, not
like
just...
Byron or Shelley or Keats or any of those boys? Oh, did they? Lord Byron, he was just sick of women.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
And what about you, Mr. Shillelagh? Have you ever come...
support a man. I had five brothers to support.
You never could support a man? That's why
right.
You're so single?
That's right.
Is that the customary procedure
the
in Ireland?
Yes.
The woman supports the man? In a...
Yes.
I just thought that was on Saturday night. I didn't know that. Do you have any boyfriends now, Josephine?
No, sir.
You don't, huh?
No.
Are you doing anything to encourage any boyfriends?
No, sir.
You don't like men, I take it, huh?
They don't like me, I think.
I don't know why. You're a very attractive-looking woman, Josephine. Maybe you're not using the right tactics. Now, suppose you met Mr. Gallagher at a party and you liked him. How would you nail him?
Go ahead.
Tell me step by step, huh?
I'd drop my handkerchief and then I'd blink my eyes.
I'd invite him for dinner.
Yes.
And what would you give him, an Irish stew?
I'd give him
corned beef
and cabbage.
You didn't corned beef and cabbage?
You didn't
corned beef and cabbage, huh? Well, he might not be Irish. He might not care for that. Maybe that's why you've been single all these years, George. Maybe you ought to try matzo ball soup. The house is full of Hibernians. Well, Mr. Gallagher, you're a real Irishman. Right now, your face is turning green. And Josephine, you make a lovely couple. You're a lovely couple, the both of you. Now, with all this cunning and treachery going on, would you like to know something about her? For example, wouldn't you like to know how old she is?
Yes, sir.
Would you mind telling him how old you are, Josephine? Well, don't whisper to him, Josie. It won't do you any good. I know how old you are. You're 36. Is that right, John?
That's right.
That's a real Irishman, a real gentleman, eh? Well, you're a charming and rollicking couple, and I think you ought to get married immediately. That'll make a wonderful dish, corned beef and matzo ball. Now, in just 1 minute, you're going to work together for $1,000. George Fenneman, the next minute is all yours.
Thanks, Groucho. Ladies, have you looked at your compact lately? If it's battered or shoddy, it should be discarded. There's one accessory that you actually use more than any other, and use where people can see it, is extremely important to your smartness. So important, in fact, that fashion says every woman needs 3 compacts to keep her daytime clothes, sportswear, and evening apparel completely harmonious. Don't let your compacts count against you. When you can get exquisite Elgin Americans from the widest choice there is, stunning styles and convenient prices. Elgin American designing is beautifully individual. The craftsmanship is famous for perfection. So look at your compact tonight. And tomorrow, get the new compact that will do the most for your smartness. Because it's first in fashion and Elgin American.
Now, let's see if it's a $1,000 question. You're going to play your bet your life. Fenneman, tell them the rules.
Each of our 3 couples has $20. They bet as much of that $20 as they want in each of 4 questions. The couple that earns the most money gets a chance at the $1,000 question at the end of the show. Our other 2 couples are in the waiting room off stage, so they won't know what goes on until it's their turn.
Here we go. Let's see how high you can build your $20. What question category did you select?
The monetary system.
Monetary unit.
Yes, the monetary unit.
All right. Here's your first question. You have $20. How much of this are you going to go for?
I'll be 5.
5? Is that all right with you, Miss Collins?
Yes, sir.
All right. What is the monetary unit of France?
It's the franc.
The franc is correct. In this case, I have $25. Remember, you're going for $1,000 tonight. How much of your $25 will you bet on this one?
I'll bet $10.
$10. What is the medium of exchange in Australia?
That's the pound.
The pound is correct.
They now have $35.
Here's your third question. How much of the $35 are you going to go for?
Well, we'll bet $15.
$15? All right with you, Josie?
Yes, sir.
What is the money used in Italy?
That's the Italian lira.
The lira is correct.
On their way, they now have $50.
You're on your way. You've got $50. Here's your last chance to beat the other couple. How much of the 50 you're going to bet?
25.
Okay, Jody?
Yes, sir.
All right. What is the medium of exchange in Mexico?
That's the peso.
The peso is correct.
Hey,
winner to wind up with $75.
Thanks, and good luck to Melchin American Compact. Stick around now. You're still in the running for the big question.
Perhaps the next couple will say the secret word, Groucho. It's floor. They've been in the waiting room off stage. Okay, boys, bring them in. Just before we went on the air, the audience selected Mrs. Burnmeister, a housewife, and her partner, a gymnasium instructor, Mr. Ray Tull. Folks, they've got your mark.
Welcome to the Elgin American Show. And if either of you say the secret word at any time we're talking, you'll each win a 16-millimeter Apollo Sound movie projector. It's a common word, something you'll find around the house.
Mr. Tull? Where are you from, Mr. Tull?
I'm from Manhattan, Kansas.
Manhattan, Kansas, eh? And what nationality is that, Tull?
Well, I believe it's English extraction.
English extraction, eh?
Is that anything like a vanilla extraction? Well, maybe.
And Mrs. Burnmeister?
Burnmeister? Yes.
You're a housewife, eh?
Yes.
Where do you housewife, huh?
At home.
At home, eh?
Well, if you want a housewife, that's the place to do it, I think.
And what does your husband do besides the housework?
Well, he works in the Humber Yard in the daytime.
He does, huh?
Uh-huh.
I suppose he gets free board and room there, huh?
No.
No, Columbia?
He comes back home.
I see. Say, you sound like you're Irish, too, are you?
Yes,
Irish?
I am.
Well, that's a coincidence.
Maybe you can tell me something I've always wanted to know, Mrs.
I'll try very hard.
That's an odd name, isn't it, for an Irish woman?
Well, I would be McKeown.
What was your name?
McKeown.
Well, that's a good old Irish name. I want you to answer me this question. Why did St. Patrick drive the snakes out of Ireland?
Well, I'll tell you. The story that I heard about it is that a long time ago there was a lot of evil in Ireland. And St. Patrick came over there and he was going to teach them and convert the people. So he fighted with the snake and he decided he was going to chase all the serpents out of Ireland. So he got the snakes out of the ocean and they stayed there and that war and the others to be good. So now we call it Holy Ireland.
I see.
That's what I know about.
When the Irish were referring to the snakes, did they mean the English?
No. I'd love to say yes.
Now, I understand they get along very well now, don't they?
Well,
Irish and the
they
English.
Do now because England has to come over there to eat.
Well, it's just a short way over the channel there. And how did you meet Mr. Burnmeister?
Well, I was trying to sell a trailer, and I got a hint from someone that wanted to buy it. But I was in Santa Monica, and they were in Pomona, and I couldn't make the distance. So I called a friend of mine, and I was desperate to get over there. She says, well, hold your shirt. I'll get somebody that'll take you there.
And you went over there without your
shirt? No, I was hanging on to it.
Where was the trailer?
The trailer was in Santa Monica.
Oh.
So she got this fellow from me, took me from the Pomona.
All right, I do that all the time. Don't worry.
I sold the trailer and we got married.
You get married every time you sell a trailer?
Dad, no, I don't do them trailer hats.
Well, that's a very moving story, Mrs. Mr. Tull, you're a gym instructor, eh?
That's right.
How long have you been teaching gym?
About 4 years now.
The gym must be pretty dumb, huh? What's
Jim.
The matter with Jim, huh?
Jim is short for gymnasium.
Jim is short for gymnasium?
That's right.
Why don't you stretch him? Have you ever done a stretch, Jim, that you know about?
Not that I know of.
Well, why do you matter? What, could you straighten me out, too? Now, Mrs. Burnmeister, speaking of the gymnasium, would you like to lose a little weight tonight?
Yes, I would.
You would? How much?
Oh, I'd like you to lose a few pounds.
How much?
About 30 pounds.
If you lost 30 pounds, you would disappear.
Oh, no, I'm not going to talk to him.
Watch your padding around here, Mrs. Burnmeister. Well, there's a lot in what you say. Do people kid you about your weight?
Yes, they do.
You're not that bad. Do you mind it?
No, you need to tell me I'm down and out.
What's that?
I'm down and out.
You're down and out?
That's right. Low down and out.
Hey, you can never tell where a joke is going to hit me here. Well, maybe Mr. Tuller here, our gym instructor, could help you lose some of that weight. Would you like that, Mrs. Bannister?
Sure would.
Good. We'll start first thing in the morning. Ray, where's your gym?
At the downtown YMCA.
How about it, Mrs. Bannister?
They let me in?
Well, I don't think they throw you out once you were in there.
Oh, I can't get in.
Now, Musselbound, as a gym instructor, just what do you do?
Well, I conduct classes in calisthenics, supervise volleyball, basketball. Oh, yes, I have a class of business, man.
Mm-hmm. Your customers are businessmen with large corporations, I presume.
A lot of them are.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to show you how welcome you two are tonight. Mrs. Bermister, here's Elgin American's lovely dress for Seth and satin.
Oh, I've loved that for years. I never could get enough money to buy it.
Well,
I really appreciate it.
Well, it makes me happy that this fulfills a yearning that you've had for so long.
That's right. It is beautiful.
See, selling that trailer started you out on a long series of lucky incidents.
Good.
Now, for Mr. Tull, we'd like you to have Elgin American silver finished cigarette case.
Thank you very much.
You're not quite as enthusiastic as Mr. Tull. A little more enthusiasm, if you don't mind. Now, tell me, Bob Ells, in your gym, how much do you charge the businessman for a course in exercise?
Well, we only charge $50 for a full year.
You take away part of their role before you even get them up in the gym, huh?
Sure.
What do they get for their $50?
Well, we get them a special locker, we get them special exercise rooms, individual attention, unlimited use of the steam rooms, swimming pools, and all the facilities of the Y.
Well, that's $1 a week?
That's right.
It's pretty cheap, eh? What kind of equipment do you have in your gym?
Well, we have all the equipment in any ordinary up-to-date YMCA, including barbells, special exercise, medicine balls, volleyballs, weights, just everything you can think of.
Why do busy businessmen suffer through all that agony? I mean, do they...
Because it helps to build bodies.
Well, could you build me one like that guy on the bench?
Sorry, Flash.
The one sitting with chewing gum Sam over there? Mrs. Bermister, you're still here, I presume.
Yes, I am.
Have you lost any weight since we had...
Not yet. I think my shoes off, maybe.
Well, take your shoes off, huh?
I don't know.
Take anything off you want, Mrs. Bermister. This is Liberty Hall here. How much does your husband weigh?
He weighs 140.
He weighs less than you, huh?
Yep.
You can put him on his shoulders very quickly, I imagine.
No, he's taller.
Oh, he's taller.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know. How much does he think you should weigh? Huh?
Well, he likes me just as I am.
He's a pretty sure boy, all right. You've learned some tricks around that lumberyard, huh? He knows better than to throw your weight around his house, doesn't he, huh? Now, tell me, just what have you tried in order to reduce?
Well, one of the things is square dancing. I've done a lot of that.
Square dancing?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And I've used a rolling pin knocking down. Try that. Rolled over the floor a few times.
Mrs. Bermister, you said it. You said floor, and that's the secret word tonight, so that means we each win an Apollo 16-millimeter sound movie projector.
Good.
Congratulations. Now, where were we before you floored me?
On the floor.
How many diets have you tried, Mrs. Bermister?
Well, let's see. I believe it was about 10 altogether.
Uh-huh. Well, you shouldn't have tried them all together. You should. Tell me, Body Beautiful, how many pounds do you think Mrs. Bermister could lose?
Well, I think she could afford to lose about 25.
$50 or $2 a pound. That's more expensive than my butcher. Now, tell me, Charlie Horse, in reducing, which do you recommend? Do you recommend diet or exercise?
Exercise.
Why? Why not diet?
Well,
a vegetarian store, you'd be recommending diet, wouldn't you?
Well, we've gone to the Y if we recommend exercise.
Well, why? Why do you recommend exercise?
Because we can control...
You think that's more efficient than
we do?
Diet?
You can control over certain parts of the body.
Yeah, but don't you get awfully hungry and then have to eat much more?
No, no.
Still rolling around the floor?
Well, then work a little harder.
You work harder, huh? And drop dead, huh? I know you don't help women in your class with the YMCA, but tell me, as a physical instructor, have you ever helped a woman to lose weight?
Oh, yeah. I've conducted classes for women.
For women, mm-hmm.
In weight reducing.
In weight reducing, yeah. I appreciate your qualifying. I'll do as much for you someday.
Thank you, Doug.
Now, are your methods for reducing men different than they are with women?
Yes, they're not quite as strenuous. Women lose weight in different places, too.
Yes. They lose theirs at the YWCA, huh? What's the most embarrassing experience you ever had, Mr. So?
Well, I think probably the most embarrassing was during the war. I was conducting a class for ways and exercise, and the very tight-fitting trunks I was wearing split wide open, and I had nothing underneath them.
And the waves came rolling in? Mrs. Bramister, what was your most embarrassing experience? And don't tell me the same thing.
No.
No, what was yours?
Well, I was working for a family in Chicago, and...
For a family in Chicago.
I was doing housework.
I was doing...
And they had a little baby, and I slept in the baby's room. See? So the folks used to come in. The baby slept in his own bed, but in the same room.
Oh.
So the folks used to come in and out, and I never bothered any. So this night, the man came in, and he says to me, "Meg, would you please put this box to one side till tomorrow?" And it was a gorgeous big white box. So I did.
Was he an undertaker?
No, he wasn't. So he had been by then. But he handed me the box. I put it away, and he was leaving, and he says, "That's the girl. Thanks." And he's tapping me on the shoulder, and I just then his wife showed up. She wanted to know what it was all about, and I... didn't know what to tell her, so I stood there like amused and couldn't tell her anything, because he told me you cannot tell her. So the next day, I took the baby out for a walk in the buggy, and when I came back, she had been in my room and opened the box. And what was in it but a gorgeous negligee. Oh, it was a beautiful thing, and all kinds of a letter on this box. It wasn't addressed to her or anything. So she asked me for to give her full particulars why I got it and everything about it, and I couldn't do a thing. I just stood there. So I was in an awful predicament. So when he came home that night, I told him for to explain it to his wife. And the next day was her birthday, and he had already given her a birthday present before, and he didn't want her to know about this. So it straightened the matter all up. But I was quite embarrassed for a day.
Mm-hmm. What finally became of the underwear? So all I wanted to know, Mrs. Bynum.
It was her birthday present, but he didn't want her to know about it.
Okay. He wanted it kept undercover.
That's right.
Now, what was your most unusual experience?
Well, I had one real thrilling experience that all stands out in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
When I was about 14 in Ireland, we had in 1916, we had a rebellion there.
Oh, they happen every month, don't they?
No, they don't.
No?
No, it's all over now.
Oh.
But the boys were fighting on the other side of the river, and the English was fighting with ammunition. But our boys ran out of ammunition.
You threw water at them?
No. I was appointed to take a bandolier that was full of ammunition on my shoulder and put a shawl over it, and I went across the water and took the ammunition over to our boys. And the soldiers were firing from up on the hill. But I didn't get the shot, so I got over all right.
You walked across the water?
I walked across the water.
That's quite a trick. That hasn't been done in a couple of thousand years.
I walked in it.
Oh, you were in that. Sorry, huh? Now, Mr. Clark, since you've had experience in reducing women, suppose you give Mrs. Bermister a few pointers. What simple exercise can she do at home?
Well, I think while she's telephoning, she could rub her fat against the wall.
Wouldn't
that make the wall awfully greasy? No, I didn't know. I didn't know you could get $50 a year for advising people like that. Well, you make an exhausting team. Now you're going to play your Bet Your Life, the Elgin American game, for $1,000. Perhaps you'll win it. If you run your $20 into more than the other couples, you get a chance at the $1,000 question later. Fenneman, remind our listeners how much the first couple won. Here we go. Let's see how high you can build your $20. What question category did you select?
Hit songs at 33.
Okay, now here's your first question. How much will you bet? You've got $20.
Hit songs at 33.
Okay, now here's your first question. How much will you bet? You've got $20.
We'll bet 10.
10? Okay. Give me the title of this song. Play, Sam. Remember, you're going for $1,000 tonight. How much of your $30 will you bet this time?
20.
20?
20.
All right, what's the name of this song?
Call me weather. They now have
$50. You now have $50. Here's your third question. How much of the 50 are you going to try for?
40.
40. All right, let's see if you can identify this one. Okay, Sam.
$90.
All right, you've got $90. Here's your last chance to beat the other couples. How much of the 90 are you going to bet?
$85.
All right. Here we go. Give me the title of this song.
$175.
Thanks and good luck from Elgin American Compact. Now, in just 1 minute, our last couple will play You Bet Your Life, and then we'll all get the crack at the $1,000 question. Fenneman, what's your advice to the ladies?
Sound advice for the ladies and gentlemen, Groucho. Evening calls for extra special accessories and the most elegant compact you can carry. It's sterling silver by Elgin American. Many have matching cigarette cases and lighters to add even more to your luxury look. And a man can do handsome things for his evening appearance with one of Elgin American's sterling silver cigarette cases. Here, too, there are lighters to match. All these sterling silver accessories are lower priced than you might expect at leading jewelry stores, department stores, and specialty shops. You'll feel so confident of your evening perfection. You'll look so much more impressive when your compact, cigarette case, and lighter are beyond compare. Sterling Silver by Elgin American.
Now then, we'll soon know who's going to earn the most money and get the chance at the $1,000 question. George, who's leading so far?
Well, the housewife and the gym instructor have $175. And here's our final couple, Groucho. They've been in a waiting room off stage, so they don't know the secret word is floor. Okay, boys, bring them in. Just before we went on the air, our studio audience selected a merchant seaman, Glenn Sweedy, and for his partner, a long-distance truck driver, Glenn Royster. And here they come. Gentlemen, meet Groucho Marx.
Welcome, men, to the Elgin American Show. And if either of you say the secret word, you'll each win a 16-millimeter Apollo Sound movie projector. It's a common word, something you'll find around the house. Mr. Royster? Glenn Royster, is that right?
Yes, sir.
What is that Glenn? What kind of a name is that?
Oh, I believe you find that almost Spanish.
Almost Spanish?
Yes, sir.
What do you mean, almost Spanish? Like Mexican?
It could be close to that, yes, sir.
And Royster is what? Something
French.
Like a hen?
A French, I believe.
Oh. French Royster, huh? That's a Santa Claus, isn't it? Mr. Royster, enough of this unfunny stuff about your name. You're a truck driver, eh? What do you drive?
I drive a truck.
That's a silly question, you get a silly answer. What kind of a truck, Mr. Royster?
Semi-truck.
A semi-truck?
Yes, sir.
What is a semi-truck?
That's a
half semi and half truck?
That's a combination. of body and a tractor.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've been a tractor to many bodies in my life. And how big is your truck?
Well, my truck has 18 wheels, 5 axles. It's 52 feet long, 12 and a half feet high, has 35 foot of load space, carries 20 ton of cargo.
Diesel?
Yes, sir. Diesel.
Think up the road good, then. Now, Seaman, Swede, is he on
Swede? Sweden.
Sweetie, huh?
That's it.
You can come ashore now. What company do you work for, Glenn?
Well, I work for various companies. Like in a merchant marine, now you can take one ship for one company, and when you come in, you get off it, and you can change to another company. I couldn't name any specific company.
And what kind of ships do you usually work on?
Well, I usually work on tankers, carrying gas and oil, different kinds of fuel.
Pretty dangerous, isn't it?
Well, I haven't found it dangerous.
A lot of smoke on
it? You can smoke after the stack.
After the stack, okay. You mean you play poker on this thing?
Why, we play a lot of poker.
Oh. My Uncle Julius is very nautical. He's been working on the schooner for about 3 weeks now. Seaman, are you married?
No, I'm not married.
Does your ship have a mate?
Yes, two or three mates.
Do you have any girlfriends?
Yes, I have a couple of girlfriends.
Couple. Truck driver, how many girlfriends do you have?
Only the one I'm married to.
Truck driver has one, the sailor has two. Paul Revere was right. One by land and two by sea. Now, tell me, Porthole, why aren't you married?
Well, I've just never been in port long enough to really get serious about any girl. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm always shipping out all the time.
And do you have a girl in every port?
No.
Do you have some port in every girl?
Well,
no.
No.
Why not? I thought all sailors had girls in every port.
Well, I haven't been in every port.
During my sail day, you old sly old sea dog. Well, it's nice to have you men here tonight, and for each of you, we have Elgin American silver finished cigarette case. How do you like them, gents?
Thank you.
Well, you like them?
That's really nice.
No, I'm glad to. You get them back. You get them back. Now, truck driver, let's be land lovers for a moment. Just what do you do on your job?
Drive a truck.
Must be a pretty long trip, huh? I mean, what do you do specifically?
Oh, I come down to the yard where we are located. Come out and see this truck's all set up. I check it all over, see that everything on's all right.
How many wheels did you say?
Well, it has 18 wheels.
You have to check every one of those
wheels?
Yes,
sir.
See the put air in them?
To see that there is air in every one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Then I get in this truck and jam a few gears and go about 50 miles. Get out and check it all over again.
Well, this time there's a long stream of cars in back here.
No doubt.
You check it every 50 miles?
Yes, sir. I check it every 50 miles until I complete my trip.
And is it true that where the truck driver stops for lunch is always the best place to eat? Or is that just a legend?
I believe you'll find that's a legend.
Legend. But you get poisoned just the same as the pleasure cars? Huh?
That's true.
Yeah. What's the longest haul you ever made?
Oh, some 400 or 500 miles.
What kind of a load were you carrying?
Dynamite.
You were carrying dynamite?
Yes, sir.
My Uncle Julius carried a load once for 3 weeks. Then he saw the snake dead and he wasn't even in the theater. What are you doing with this dynamite? You getting ready to blow up zeros?
Oh, that's an international secret.
Huh?
That's an international secret.
It's an international secret, this dynamite?
Yes, sir.
You can tell me, I wouldn't tell me that.
You weren't going to blow your top or anything. Now, Seaweed, just what are your duties? What are your duties as a seaman?
Oh, pitch ships, stand lookout,
paint the ship.
I help pitch ships. Well, just kind of a general flunky around the place. I mean, as ordinary seaman, that's my rating.
You're sort of a...
carry the coffee pot to the mate, keep things nice around the ship.
Mm-hmm. You ever make a mistake and bring them paint instead of coffee? Can't they distinguish between them?
Well, some of them can't.
What happens after you paint the ship? Can you start painting it all over again?
That's right. It's about ready for it because they rust very easy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's going to get through... You start on the forecastle head and work aft, and by the time you get aft, the forecastle head is rusty again. And...
Yes, that forecastle head is always rusty. Well, what do you do in your leisure time aboard the ship?
Oh, play poker. I lay in your bunk and read books.
What do you read?
Just generally take it easy and talk.
What do you read? 20 years before the mass?
Well, I do.
Around the world in 80 days? And
strange enough, I do. I read
20,000 Leagues Under the Sea?
No, well, not that one.
That's pretty corny.
It's getting a little too far.
Now, why do they refer to a ship as a she?
Well, I'll tell you, the fellows kind of have a story about referring to a ship as a she.
They like the boat, is that?
Well, they refer to it... she needs a lot of paint all the time, like a woman. And always looking for a boy whenever it comes into port. Whenever she comes into port.
Well, I thought it was because the ship shows off to better advantage in the stiff breeze. Do you ever get seasick, Barnacle Bill?
Occasionally I get seasick.
You do, huh? And what's a good cure for seasickness?
Well, I...
Santa Bay Chief?
Better at times.
Huh?
I've never really...
What's a good cure? Is there a good cure? Because I'm with the police.
Well, I left
over there, and I don't want to get... heave, too, over that focus over there. You know, once... Pardon me, just a moment.
Uh-huh.
I'm not a very good sailor, in addition to my other deficiencies. Some years ago, I went to Hawaii, and the boat was down here at Wilmington.
Uh-huh.
And the boat was crowded. And I got on the boat, and there was a big crowd on the pier there, waving to these people up there, and throwing all kinds of confetti and flowers and everything. Now, the boat hadn't pulled up anchor yet, and I was over the other rail throwing up. To think I'm any John Paul Jones or anything. Now, I have a very good cure that I recently found for seasickness. Just before the boat sails, drink a quart of milk, two raw eggs, and then quickly jump back on the dock and stay there. Have you found any surefire cure for seasickness?
No, just...
Is it true that even the captains on the ships get sick after many voyages?
I guess it's true.
You do. Mm-hmm. That is, wouldn't be from the coffee you bring them, huh?
No. It all depends on the port you hit.
Oh. Now, truck driver, what's the most trouble you have with motorists?
Oh, stargazing along the highway.
The smooching?
Generally,
smooching.
Yes, sir.
Smooching, too. Do you ever pick up hitchhikers?
Well, we're not allowed to.
You notice he doesn't say, what if they have beautiful legs?
Oh, we're not allowed to.
You notice he doesn't say he doesn't pick them up. He just says he's not allowed to. Huh? By the way, what do you do, Mr. Reuter?
I drive a truck.
You're stuck in the same gear, eh? You ought to have your oil changed, Mr. Reuter. Now, seaman, on your ship, do you ever pick up any hitchhikers?
Well, once we was in China, we picked up a hitchhiker.
A stowaway, eh?
Well, no, it was one of the boys' girlfriends.
Girlfriend?
Uh-huh. It was a Chinese girl. We picked her up, and he kept her in the forecastle all the time.
You kept her in the forecastle?
Yeah, I mean, he hit her. He didn't let anybody know about it.
What do you mean? He hit her with what, huh?
He
hit her, huh?
My pronunciation.
Oh, well, that's my ears. Now, as a merchant seaman, what was your most exciting experience?
Oh, most exciting experience is a heavy storm in the China Sea, where...
And the dawn comes up like thunder, is that true?
Well, I'd like to describe it that way if I could.
Well, I wish you would, huh? Well, I'm sure you can do a much better job than I could. since I'm not Kipling. Although I had him for breakfast.
This is one night, especially when I realized it was really a storm, I was coming forward with a coffee pot for the mate, and helped him out.
You two must have been very happy together.
We did. And we didn't have any catwalk on the ship.
You didn't have any catwalk?
Oh.
What about this girl down below, huh?
Different ship.
Oh, that was a different ship.
Uh-huh.
And?
So I was coming forward to the coffee pot, and just about that time the big wave came over, and I was halfway between midships and aft. And this heavy wave came over and took the coffee pot out of my hand and brushed me right up against the rail. I mean, it left me hanging over the side of the rail. So I was awful scared. Scared to death.
And
I just hung there until the ship righted itself, and I popped up on deck again.
And the coffee?
The coffee was gone.
Uh-huh.
Left.
Well, truck driver, tell me, what was your most exciting experience?
Well, I believe the most exciting experience I've ever had was with a truck.
What is your occupation, Mr. Royce?
I'm a truck driver.
What happened?
I was driving this truck and the exhaust pipe came loose from the manifold, swung around and burned the brake holes into, which I wasn't aware of, and I had this big heavy load of steel traveling along the road and came to a hill and started to make an application for slow down, and the truck wouldn't slow down.
Did you write out this application?
The truck began to gain speed.
And
about that time, I began to get worse scared. And it was very fortunate that there was no automobiles or anything in the road. I was able to guide the truck on down the hill and bring it to a safe landing.
And what became of the coffee?
I left it on the hill.
Now, Admiral Nimitz, what are some of the ports? What are some of the ports you visited?
Oh, Shanghai, Saipan, Honolulu, Aden.
Have you been all over the world?
I've been two times around the world.
No, it's pretty good. Is it true the world is round?
Well, I believe that's right.
Well, if it wasn't for the United States, the world would be flat today. No. Well, you make a very moving couple. Now, let's see how you can work together for $1,000. You're the last couple to play the Elgin American game. You beat the other two couples, and you get the $1,000 question. I can't tell you how much they won, but George is off stage to remind our listeners. Here we go. Let's see how high I can lose you $20. What question category did you select? Nicknames of state?
Nicknames of state.
That right? All right. Here's your first question. You've got $20. How much are you going to go for?
$10.
$10? All right. What state is known as the Lone Star State?
Texas.
Texas is right.
Well, let's start by half $30.
Remember the big prize, $1,000 tonight. How much of your $30 are you going to go for?
$20.
$20?
$20.
All right, what state is known as the Hoosier State?
New York.
All right. All right, we'll give you an alternative question. All right. This is your second question. What state is known as the Beaver State?
Utah.
No, I'm sorry. Is that the you two have decided on?
One
state between. Take a good one now. Take a stab.
I can't.
Sorry. I'm sorry. The answer is Oregon.
You now have $10.
You now have $10, and here's your third question. How much of the 10 are you going to go for?
10, I guess.
All right, here we go. What state is known as the Show Me State?
Missouri.
Missouri is correct.
They now have $15.
You now have how much? They now have $20. They had 10?
They bet 5.
And no, they bet 10. They bet 10.
That's right.
Ten. They bet 10.
All right.
What a thief that sentiment is.
Gonna make a subway.
They now have $20. They now have $20. You can't get away with that stuff with me, sir. One week he did that and pocketed $5 from me.
Now, here's your last chance to beat the other couples. How much of the $20 are you going to bet this time?
Bet it all.
Bet it all. What state is known as the Sunflower State?
Kansas.
Kansas is correct.
Hey, wind up. It's $20. That means a housewife and a gym instructor with $175 get the chance of a $1,000 question.
In just 30 seconds, I'll ask the $1,000 question.
There's big news tonight. Elgin American announces an exciting new companion series of compacts and cigarette cases named American Beauty. At just $2.95, $3.95, and $4.95. You never saw such quality. Such designing for so little money. Only Elgin American's tremendous facilities could make them possible. See these new American Beauty compacts and cigarette cases at your favorite store tomorrow. It's a name to look for. American Beauty by Elgin American. And here's the winning couple, the housewife and the gym instructor.
Well, back again to try for $1,000 of Elgin American's dollars, eh? Good luck. I'll give you 15 seconds to decide on a single answer between you, so talk it over thoroughly, and please, no help from the audience. Here it is for $1,000 in cash. On a memorable day in 1876, somebody said, "Mr. Watson, come here. I want you." Who said those immortal words? Now, what is the answer you two have decided upon?
Dale, Graham Dale.
Alexander Graham Bell is right. Congratulations, you win out $1,000. You have the right answer. What are you going to do with the money?
I'm going to have to get drunk.
Well, here it is.
And tonight, I'll sign my channel.
All right, get him drunk, too. Now, you can take me along with you. Fine. Well, here it is for $1,000 from Elgin American Compacts. You said you cleaned up tonight. Not only did you win the $1,000, but you each won a 16-millimeter sound movie projector, plus $175 you won in the quiz. Congratulations and thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Elgin American Show, You'll Bet Your Life, is a John Goodell production, transcribed from Hollywood, directed by Bob Dwan and Bernie Smith, music by Stanley Myers. Remember, next week's big question pays $1,000. Be sure to tune in again next Wednesday night at this time for You'll Bet Your Life, starring Groucho Marx, presented by the creators of America's most beautiful compacts, smartest cigarette cases, and finest dresser sets, Elgin American.
Good night, folks. Have you looked at your compact lately?